coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites where you can find us, HagmanReportLive.com. You know, those are going to be changing sometime pretty soon. Either that or there was a coup, unplanned takeover by Eric the Tech. I'm not sure. Right? Eric the Tech, how are you this Monday?
Doing good.
Good things in the works, right? And he's silent. That's all right. He's busy. He needs like four more arms and stuff, appendages. HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you can find our audio, video, products, popular segments. Don't forget to look there. We had a little blip in that yesterday. Steve Quayle's, the popular segment went up, but there was no video. And, you know, hey, it just happens, right? It's just one of those things. It's pretty interesting that it only happens on certain occasions with certain videos. But HagmanReportLive.com. Also, HagmanReport.com as well. Now, obviously, a week ago this evening, where were we? What were we doing? I mean, think about it. We were talking about impeachment, right? Pretty much impeachment. In 1 week's time, you've got, what, 60 million people quarantined, under quarantine in China? Think about this. Think about how quickly our lives can change. I was watching John Haller. I've met him. I've talked to him. He's an attorney. He's also the pastor of the Fellowship Bible Chapel out of Sunbury, Ohio. And I was watching his broadcast yesterday. And the title of his sermon, or he gives a news brief every week. I highly recommend watching that. Distress of Nations with Perplexity. Think about that. Distress of Nations with Perplexity. And that's what we're seeing right now. You've got the coronavirus, latest over 2,800 global cases resulting in numerous deaths. You've got right now a 15% morbidity or fatality rate, 83% infection rate for those exposed. Now think about that. The question I have, is this everything it appears to be? Is this more than it appears to be? Is this really a weaponized, a bioweapon? I think we're all adults here. We have to ask the question, is this some sort of weaponized bioweapon? Because remember, as far as the U.S. is concerned, and I would suspect that this goes for all of Western nations, you don't want to destroy the infrastructure of the country. You don't want to drop nukes here and there, although that's still a possibility. You want the infrastructure somewhat intact when you take it over. So how does one accomplish that? Well, certainly bioweapons are an option. Now think about the Deagle report and the numbers there. Think about the Georgia Guidestones, the numbers there. Think about Agenda 2030, you know, Agenda 21, the larger implications there, depopulation. Oh man, so many people are fans of depopulation. October 18th last year, John Hopkins, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and I'm sure you probably know this already, teamed up with some business leaders and some other leaders, and they sponsored something called Event 201. Have you heard about this? I think InfoWars might have done a little bit of take on this or addressed this perhaps last week. I'm not 100% sure, but I know John Haller did. And I was looking at this. Their scenario, it was a scenario of a pandemic, and it involved, it was a simulation of a pandemic. It involved, oddly enough, the coronavirus. Wow. Have we ever seen that before? Have we ever seen simulations, mock drills, followed, you know, on the heels of the drills of disaster, or concurrent with the drills of a disaster? Have we ever seen that before? Look, I'm not saying that this is a weaponized bioweapon. I'm not saying that this is, the end of, I'm not trying to pump anything out there, but there comes a point in time when you've got to take a look at something, and when you start to see, for example, an 83% infection rate for anyone exposed to a virus, a 15% fatality rate, you start seeing cities, multiple cities being contained, quarantined. You start to see restrictions on travel. You know that there's going to be economic ramifications, global economic ramifications. And what is the ultimate objective here? Not here with this virus, but what's the ultimate objective of the greater globalist agenda? And that's to take over our money supply. Remember back in 2012, 2013, we're just going to crash the dollar. Remember when I did that? Maybe that was just too early and it was too inconvenient for the globalists, and maybe something else happened there. But there are larger implications here. You're looking at depopulation being an objective of the globalists, and people will say, well, that's not, how can you say that? I mean, Bill and Melinda Gates, they've got the vaccinations, they got the vaccines, or, oh my goodness, they're philanthropists, they're sending to Africa. You know, I had a conversation with a medical doctor on Saturday, a couple of conversations. And this medical doctor, it takes quite a bit for this medical doctor to, you know, be a little bit concerned, or be more than a little bit concerned. And this person was. And then I had conversations with everyone I could think of. I mean, I was contacting everyone I can think of in every department. Yes, on the weekend. And yes, at home. And, you know, their responses were pretty similar to each other. This is bad. This is bad. And my question is it as bad as they say it is? And out of all the conversations I had, and I had several, and for those, you know, want demanding specificity, it's more than five. How's that? The response was, it's likely worse. All right. A couple of individuals says, you wouldn't catch me on a commercial airline. No. Now, that's not to instill panic. That's not to instill fear. It's to just inform. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's important for all of us to say, we don't know. I don't know. If you don't know, then, you know, what's left? Speculation. So, digging for the purest of pure information, the people on the ground, the people, I'm not talking about open source information, reading headlines and spouting them off. I'm talking about contacting people. For example, in my capacity as an investigator, calling someone up who I have been acquainted with, or I know, or I've been introduced to, and saying, look, from, you know, I'm contacting you and I need some answers. What do you know about this? Whether they be infectious disease specialists, whether they be journalists, I need to know what you know. Not hyped, not minimized, not through any bias, just the facts, period. And to a person, they all said, look, I don't know. But here's the common theme. To the person, everyone said, there's more going on than the media is telling. Well, gee whiz. You know, tell me something I don't know, right? Tell you something you don't already know. Well, I think that's important, though. There's more going on that the media is not reporting, and there's more going on that's not being given to the media, and as bad as the media is. With me today, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I don't want to keep him waiting. John, how are you?
How are you, sir?
Good, good. You're a little bit low on volume, John, and you got to turn on the smiley video. Oh, you got him. Okay. All right. John, before we get started, I've got, I was leading off with the coronavirus. The question is, could it be a bioweapon? And the larger sense here, the distress of nations with perplexity, kind of borrowing, something that, John Haller from, the Fellowship Bible Chapel sermonized yesterday. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now. This virus is not the only piece of news, but it's a big part of it. You know, we've got the coup taking place in Washington and so on. But with me, John, is a friend, a mutual friend, who I spoke with this morning and who's got some information, firsthand information. So I hope, please join me, John, in welcoming, Dr. Ted Brower from healthmasters.com. John, you know Ted, right?
Oh, John's been a good friend of mine, Doug, for many, many years. In fact, I've been to his home in Missouri. He's coming to my home here pretty shortly. And so if you wanted to pick a guest to have on the show with me and you for a couple of minutes, it would be John Moore. He's that good. I appreciate what John has to offer. He's an amazing man and amazing friend for many years. But I've got a friend of mine, John and Doug, who lives in China. And I contacted him this weekend and I said, I've known this guy for 25 years. He has asked to remain anonymous because of the Chinese government, and I'm just going to call him Jeff. His name is not Jeff, but I've got a series, a chain of emails that he has sent me from China that I'd like to read for you, because this guy's boots on the ground. He has 3 months of food supply stored in his house. He has 3 months of water supply stored in his house, so he thinks like we think, and he listens to the Hagman Show and to the John Moore Show and our show on a regular basis, and he lives in China. And I sent him an email, and I said, Mike, is any of this corona information real? Because I remember what happened years ago.
Let's keep the names. It's Jeff, okay? Jeff.
No, it's Jeff.
Right.
Did I use his correct name?
Yes, you did.
Did I use the right name? Oh, I apologize. I didn't use the last name, did I?
No.
Oh,
I just thought that was funny.
At least you know I don't like using alias names. So in the event you want to edit that, go ahead and feel free. He goes, Ted, Wuhan is a city the same size as Wuxi, about 11 million. It's important to know that the hospitals they currently have are not small, but have thousands of beds. They are building a 1,000-bed hospital in just 10 days. That's how serious the Chinese are. The government here is very well organized, and if anyone can make it work, it's China. Doctors and nurses, listen to this, that do not want to go to work in hospitals in Wuhan are being told by the government, if you don't come back to work, you will lose your medical licenses for life. So I only hope that there are several brave healthcare professionals from other parts of China that will volunteer to go to Wuhan and help, and maybe the government could subsidize them with extra pay. Then he basically said, please don't share my name or suspicions, as I don't want to alarm anyone. I think it's pretty bad, and I'm praying that the government is successful at keeping everyone inside for the next few weeks so they can see who's infected wherever they are and isolate the infected ones before they have a chance to infect others. Here, it's their best plan. Here in Wuxi, all public parks, all malls, all restaurants, all theaters, et cetera, are closed. And they have asked everyone to stay at home and not to go outside if not necessary. They have also asked everyone to work together as a team to solve the problem. It's brilliant if they can pull it off. It's really the only way to limit the damage and not let it go further. The infected number is much higher than what is mentioned via the news. So I hope and pray that God helps to solve this. Jeff's also a Christian. He goes on to say, please be careful not to share too much information, as I don't want it to come back. If the people panic, it may just cause more to get hurt and to perish. Let's trust the government as far as planning its limitation. Then he goes on. Then on Monday, he said this. He said, I am at Wuxi, China, or 12 noon in Florida. Yes, the pictures and the video that we sent with the dead bodies accurately describe the situations. Welcome to my world. It almost feels surreal with very little, if anyone, in the streets, no loud fireworks going off 24-7 like normal during the biggest celebration of the year, which normally lasts for a full month. No scooters, no bikes, no traffic, no cars, no buses, no dump trucks, no container trucks, no police vehicles. Even the absence of people walking around on roads, empty malls, closed restaurants, closed theaters, closed. It's very creepy. I feel like Charlton Heston in the movie Omega Man. Let's hope it doesn't get that bad. I can feel your prayers. Now he goes on to say, he's continuing to update me. I've talked to a Chinese friend who traveled home to her mountain village area to spend the Spring Festival holiday with her family. She told me the government has restricted travel from their village that's located in a central mountainous area. I know her village is about a six-hour drive from Shanghai. And with about 28 million people, although it's not been officially announced, I think the government has initiated a countrywide lockdown on travel to help contain what is happening with the virus. Now it is mandatory to wear a face mask outside. If the police catch you without a mask, you can get into trouble. And then he goes on to say, I talked about what was going on with the FEMA drill. And he goes, I know that there's a job to do studies like this in a what-if scenario, but isn't it strange that the U.S. almost always has a FEMA drill weeks or months ahead of an attack? You know, what's up with that? And then he goes on to say, okay, the Public Transportation Department has closed all major highways around Wuxi, so you can assume that they are doing the same with other cities all over the country, affecting helping to slow down this problem. And finally, this morning, he sent me another text when I sent him the information on the international banking community wanted to collapse the dollar and they could be using this. He said, that certainly helps connect the dots on things that I'm thinking about could be. So only hope now this is an antivirus is found. As far as the economy goes, it's not just affecting 54 million people in Wuhan. 15 to 18 cities have been officially quarantined, but I'm guessing the most major highways are closed across the country and only allowing authorized traffic like police, fire, medical, and maybe some food deliveries. So unofficially, over 1.3 billion people are stuck wherever they are, which is good because many at home are there with their families. I'm holding up in my apartment on the top floor with enough food and water for about 3 months. And after the bottled water runs out, I can always boil water. Thank God there's no problem with a good supply of electric power. I wanted to make the 50-minute trip on a fast train from Wuxi to Costco in Shanghai, but I think it's too much of a risk to take at this time. I told all my friends to just try and stay inside and out of harm's way. So that is news from the ground in China. And now we realize this morning on Breitbart that Xi Jinping, the president of China, says the accelerating spread of the coronavirus is a grave situation and suspended tourist travel abroad. So the Chinese leader basically said that nobody else is coming out of China. He's suspending all of it. He says China marked the beginning of this lunar year holiday season with an announcement of 15 additional deaths of patients. He goes on to say as a part of this effort to curtail the spread of the novel coronavirus, which began in Wuhan, China and the president said China would suspend all tour groups and the sale of all flight and hotel packages for its citizens headed overseas. The suspension of ticket sales began today. So, guys, we've got a major issue. They say that about 83% of the people that are exposed to this fire get infected with it. But that means 17% don't. Why? Because of their immune systems. Now, I'm going to say this very clearly. On a 1 to 10 scale being this is nothing as number 1, 10 being it's a global pandemic, I'm giving this a 3 or 4 right now, especially in China. I'm not blowing the whistle, blowing a trumpet, saying, oh, my gosh, this is about to blow up the planet. But what I am saying is be aware right now of what's going on. Pay close attention. There are several things your immune system needs. It needs D3 to activate the macrophages, the white blood cells. They won't work without sufficient quantities of D3. It needs vitamin C and needs potassium iodide. If you go to the healthmasters.com website, you can see we have a Hagman immune system protocol.
Go figure.
It's named after Doug. Yeah, figure that one out. And basically, it has the C, the D, and the C and the D in it, and also along with the vitamin C, the C, the D, and the iodine. Very important that you keep your immune system extremely strong because if you get this, it doesn't have 100% fatality rate, but so far they're suspecting that it's around 15%. But that's a lot, guys. That's much, much higher than the Spanish flu that hit back in World War I, which killed millions and millions of people. So, guys, it's really important. And listen to me. If you go to healthmasters.com to get products, be aware that we can only fill the existing orders, we probably will be backordered pretty quickly. So I don't want to try to get you guys to sit here on your butts and not do anything, but you need to have supplements to make sure your immune system is going to be at peak performance in the event this thing turns into a major pandemic. But remember, it's not there yet, not in the United States. China's a mess. But if they can suspend the air travel, if they haven't already gotten too many people over here, which they may have, we'll know within the next 2 weeks, Doug, what's going to happen. What do you think, John? What do you think,
yeah,
Doug?
Yeah, John, pipe in here. Your thoughts.
Okay, well, we need to look at the goals of the Chinese government, what they've done in the past to achieve goals. They murdered 50 million of their own people to achieve their goal about 60 years ago. That goal was taken
away. That's true.
The same people that did that then are either in charge or their children are in charge with the same mindset to murder as many millions of people they need to murder to achieve their goal. Now, they have too many people. The Chinese leadership recognizes they have too many people. They need, they're already looking at colonizing Africa. They're looking at colonizing the United States. And they will do whatever it takes to accomplish that goal. If it means murdering 50 million of their own people, which is a tiny percentage, by the way, of 1.4 billion, yeah, they'll do that. They'll do it in a heartbeat.
Hey, John, is there any way you can turn up your volume, my friend? I apologize. It's just a little difficult to hear you.
You can turn up on your end. I can't do anything.
Okay, here. All right. Yeah, we got to work on this. Okay, continue, sir.
Well, that's what I look at, goals and ways to achieve goals. That's why I no longer feel nationwide EMP is a threat, because our enemies want oil. They want oil refineries at work, water treatment and sewage treatment plants at work, locks and dams at work, airports at work. They don't want a broken country that can't be fixed for 10 years. That's why they won't use nationwide EMP. They'll use localized EMP. And a biological weapon, if that's what this is ideal because it doesn't damage infrastructure. It just kills
people. Exactly right.
And if you want to take over a country and have its infrastructure intact and kill all the people, a biological weapon is a very efficient way to do that.
Yeah, you know, Ted, let me ask you. You've been around this kind of stuff all your adult life. Is it possible? Is it possible this could be an engineered, like a bioweapon? I mean, is it possible?
Well, let's look at another article that came out that Zero Hedge put out this week. It said that Zero Hedge reported the virus involved in the current coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan, China, was stolen from the Canadian National Microbiology Laboratory in Winnipeg by Chinese agents. Last July, Dr. QQIU, an advanced scientist who was the head of the vaccine department in an antiviral therapy section at the NML, was forcibly ejected from the facility, along with her husband, Dr. Cheng, another biologist. This was after following a four-month investigation into an unauthorized shipment of lethal viruses to China. Questions still remain as to whether previous shipments to China of other viruses took place prior to 2018. Over the school year of 2017-2018, Dr. Q had made at least five trips to the Wuhan National Biosafety Laboratory, which is housed at the military facility linked to China's biological warfare program. Guys, they're not saying if he took a commercial flight or a private jet, because a private jet would be very easy to bring stuff in on. In 2018, it became the first Chinese lab to receive a level 4 biosafety hazard, regulation, whatever, affidavit. It is located just 20 miles away from the epicenter of the coronavirus. Dr. Q had previously been studying post-exposure immunotherapy for two Ebola viruses at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in conjunction with the U.S. Defense Treaty Threat Reduction. The CDC classifies Ebola as a Category A bioterrorism agent. China's interest in biology as the emerging domain of warfare, which is what John just said, is commitment to biotech dominance and looser ethics around the CRISPR gene editing has raised concern that such pathogens are being weaponized. Chinese military strategists are known to talk about potential genetic weapons and the possibility of a bloodless victory. Exactly what John just said.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the Lancet Science Journal just published a Chinese government-funded study based on 41 people from the first wave of infections, showing it 83% infected, a 15% death rate. Such numbers are almost unheard of. If they hold true, it has the potential to kill hundreds of millions of people. Also, we have to realize that the central banker controlled, exactly what you talked about earlier, Doug, deep state could be causing this pandemic to intentionally disrupt the global economy in order to hide the collapse of the fiat Ponzi scheme, which they've had to inject $6 trillion into in the last couple of months. in World War III event, they're saying in this article that they had scheduled for Hillary and they failed to trick Trump into, is not happening. So they need another way to purge and to plunge the global network into chaos, something which they can then blame on the failure of the debt, which can then they cannot be blamed for the failure of their debt-based financial system. In other words, what this article is saying is that they need some type of gigantic false flag, which could be very, very real, not something that's being made up, in order to destroy the global economy, destroy the U.S. dollar, to destroy the hegemony of the United States, the dollar, the petrodollar, all of this stuff. And John Moore is right, as I've told him so many times, they're not going to use nuclear weapons. They're not going to use a nationwide EMP because they want the infrastructure of the country intact when they come in and they take it over as a new world order. They don't want to destroy it. It's easier to do it with biologicals. I've talked about it so many times. But again, there's no point in panicking. Now we got to pray. The Bible says that basically we're not born of a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Right now, on a threat scale, on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm saying it's 3 to 4. Because it's pretty much isolated in China. We'll know within 2 weeks if we need to up that in the United States. But you need to be on C, iodine, and D3 immediately because the macrophages in the body cannot turn on properly without vitamin D3. They release cytokines, which are a chemical messenger, which is like a flare gun to get other macrophages to come to the rescue. And when that happens, it causes inflammation and fluid retention, especially in the lungs. The people who die from the flu pandemic of the early World War I, they died of pneumonia primarily and not from the flu because their lungs filled with fluid. That's because of a cytokine storm is what that's called, because the cytokines can't find a macrophage that works. They continue to release cytokines. And Dr. Russell Blaylock has talked about this in depth on what a cytokine storm is. This is what happens with young children who are immunized when they start having brain swelling. It's from a cytokine storm. And so all of this stuff, they know how to do all of this stuff. So could it be engineered by the international banking community? Yes. Could it be engineered by the Chinese government to try to you know, they're pretty off right now with all the sanctions that we've put against them with Donald Trump. I mean, could it all be the international banking cartel like Otto Kahn said in the early 1920s, that they control both sides of the narratives so they can get the desired outcome? Yes. But what I'm saying, guys, is personally, I believe, and I'm not saying this is it, that if they're going to do this to the planet, they're going to do it through biologicals because it's the easiest way to maintain the infrastructure, guys. And so I agree with John Moore 100% on this. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on this. I think your assessment is right on the, you know, right on the money. Folks, do me a favor, all right? This is not an infomercial. This is just something you can do for yourself, all right? Please do me a favor. Go to healthmasters.com and order a Hagmann Immune Survival Kit. It's right there on your screen, okay? And if you, for whatever reason, if you can't afford, you know, the whole package, Ted, what, excellency, potassium iodide, what would you recommend? Well, the D3, C, and what else did you say?
The three things, Doug, are C, D3, K2, and potassium iodine. See, iodine is very important for the thyroid because it basically, if it sees a pathogen come through the blood flow of the thyroid, it zaps it with iodine. It's part of the immune system. People don't talk about that much, but it's very important and it's relatively inexpensive with the nascent iodine that we carry. The D3, make sure it's combined with K2 because without K2 with your D3, you can calcify arteries. It's really important you take the D3, K2 together and then also the vitamin C. I bumped that to 4,000 to 6,000 milligrams a day if this does indeed turn into a mess here in this country. But in the meantime, make sure you maintain it about 2,000 milligrams a day, 12.5 milligrams of the iodine, which is one capsule a day, and then the D3, K2, one a day. That's it. And if we see this thing blow over and it doesn't do much in this country, you can back off those levels. It's very, very important. But I'm going to turn the show back over to you,
right,
if you don't mind, Doug.
No,
you and John. I love you guys. I appreciate you both. Have a good show, and I will talk to you guys soon.
Hey, before you go, please take my order. One of those packs for John. Drop ship it to John, or just keep it there when he comes to your house. And then two for me. I'll have my wife tonight after the show send you the money for that. So,
I'll get it out to you. But remember, guys, it's so important. I use a FDA registered drug laboratory to manufacture my supplements out of Orlando. They're not going to be able to keep up with this kind of demand.
Nope.
I'm telling you, we're going to have back orders. So if you want to order this, you need to do it right away.
Yes.
I love you guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
You.
Thanks, buddy. That's
hey,
Ted.
Guys. Bye.
Ted Brewer from healthmasters.com. The link's in the program description box. And John Moore. John, thanks for bearing with all of us, with me, and thanks for Oh man, just thanks for being you. I really appreciate, you know, your assessments and you've been like right on the money with everything. In terms of your assessments from last week, the weeks before, your programs have been stellar lately. I mean, well, not that that sounds bad, doesn't it?
Getting better. How about they're getting better?
They're always good. So go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, Doug, here's, and I was hoping Ted would stick with a little, here's what we have not discussed. The vaccines.
Yes.
There will be a vaccine. You can count on it. And, personally, I will not accept or take the vaccine under any circumstances. I personally know a woman who accepted the swine flu vaccine, and that would have been about 1974. She's still suffering from it, and many people died from the swine flu vaccine. And, of course, we now know that vaccines in general don't work, and they're dangerous. And I have great skepticism about any vaccine that would be offered, especially with the timeline. We have a serious virus that's just been made public, and if they come up with millions and millions of doses of a vaccine in the next few weeks, that would raise a massive red flag with me. How about you, Doug?
Yeah, yes, period. Yes, 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 and yes. You know, what concerns me at the open, and I'm not sure if you heard this, and I didn't mean to take so much time at the open for this, but October 18th of last year, just about three months ago, John Hopkins sponsored the event 201. Are you familiar with that? Did you see that? Are you at all familiar with that? I wasn't until.
Well, that was a test, wasn't it? Some kind of test.
It was a simulation. Yeah. And simulation. Yeah. If you don't mind, John, may we play just a touch?
Let's do that.
Okay. All right. Eric, do you have the video for? All right, he's now again, folks. This is from Event 201. Read into that number what you will. All right, in terms of 21. I don't care. As he's getting the video ready here, this is about several minutes, 14 minutes, I think, into the video itself. But they ran a simulation and then they put it on YouTube, and I'll put the link in the program description box. And by the way, the link to John Moore's website as well is in the program description box. But when you're ready, go ahead and hit the play button on this. This is from Event 201.
And with that, here in New York and online, welcome to Event 201.
This is a simulation now, remember, October 18th.
It began in healthy-looking pigs months, perhaps years ago. A new coronavirus spread silently within herds. Gradually, farmers started getting sick. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died. At first, the spread was limited to those with close contacts, healthcare personnel, co-workers, and families. But now, it's spreading rapidly throughout local communities. International travel has turned local epidemics into a pandemic spanning the globe. Just 3 months ago, CAPS started in South America, but has now reached several countries with more than 30,000 cases and nearly 2,000 deaths.
All right, you can... That's fine. So, John, there's the simulation, and of all things, not Ebola, not, you know, the Black Plague, coronavirus, 3 months ago. Thoughts?
Well, it may be happenstance. It may be something connected there. Without evidence, we don't know if it's just circumstantial or if it was something intentional.
Sure.
They had prior knowledge. You and I live in the world of evidence, Doug.
Yes.
And anybody can speculate, but in the absence of evidence, that's all it is, a speculation. But we're getting away from what's important here. What's important is a deadly disease being spread about the planet and what's going to be done about it. What's going to be done about it is very important. I understand that you may have heard this, that Russia stopped all incoming flights from China. Have you heard that?
I have.
Okay. Well, that was a smart thing to do. And why we didn't do it, I don't know. But they did it immediately. And that was smart.
I think something earlier today, yeah. John, I think a couple of other countries did the same. If I'm not mistaken, they put a backstop on, or they put a stop to people coming into the countries. But the United States were wide open.
There was a country that exported 500.
Yes. Chinese. That was Eric the Tech, by the way. So, John, yeah, you're right. Why haven't we?
Well, in a command economy like Russia, where they can give an order and it's followed without question, it's pretty easy to do. We don't have that type of country here. I would like to think the president had that kind of authority, but if he does, he didn't exercise it, obviously.
Well, heck, we can't even address the illegal invasion that's taking place, or the illegals in this country. So what am I thinking? And by the way, I want to thank you. Folks, you know, John Moore, he doesn't need, you know, any accolades or an introduction beyond what you know about him. But did you see him? Did you hear him say, look, we live in a world of evidence, you and I, that's where we live. And the very same sentence was told to me, it was said to me by the local district attorney last week. He said, I know this is about something different. Now he said, I know what you're saying. I absolutely believe what you're saying. Show me the evidence. So John, right. Thanks for keeping me, you know, in between the lines.
Well, you're welcome, Doug. there's been several Hollywood feature films about pandemics. And of course it's Hollywood and they sensationalize anything. But there's something called exponential growth, where 2 becomes 4, becomes 8, becomes 16. And that's what we're looking at here, exponential growth. And once it gets going, it's going to have to burn itself out. There's no way to stop it. Reports are saying, and I got an article here in front of me on Breitbart, that 5 million people got out of Wuhan before the lockdown. And we don't know how many of the 5 million people, of course, were infected, but obviously a percentage was. So it's already reached a point where it can't be contained in China. What we do here remains to be seen. Going back to when AIDS was a thing back in the mid-80s, I believe, when that took off?
Yes, Rock Hudson.
They did not treat AIDS as a contagious, fatal disease, where they would lock people up and quarantine them. And I don't think there's any precedence for that, where a fatal contagious disease did not require people to be quarantined. But they didn't do that in the 1980s with AIDS, which they should have, obviously, but they did not. Now, I believe they're going to quarantine these people. What I've seen so far in the United States is they are, in fact, putting people that they believe have this under quarantine, which would be a room in a hospital, typically with negative pressure and proper protocols to keep whatever's in there from getting out. That's what needs to be done. And, of course, there's not that many hospital rooms in the entire country that have negative pressure and proper protocols to contain a contagious fatal disease. But while they have them and can make use of them, they should.
Hmm. True. You know, I'm glad you brought that negative pressure up. It does make a difference. You know, of course, you see people walking around in a spacesuit kind of thing, but negative pressure does make a difference in quarantine situations.
Well, let's explain for those who don't know what negative pressure room is. When you open the door, the air from the outside the room is sucked into the inside until the door is shut, and then that air is filtered before it leaves the room. That's a negative pressure room, and that's the way a proper quarantine is done.
Precisely. And yes. And we lack that in general. We lack that.
It's limited. Most hospitals will have maybe 2 or 3. A big hospital may have 10 rooms like that. But it's very limited. It's very limited. It's expensive. And they don't need it that much.
Exactly. Now, John, there is a run on the N95 masks.
You can't wear one of those things for more than an hour.
I'm talking about the paper masks, the surgical masks.
The regular surgical mask you can wear all day, but the N95 is so thick and heavy that you can't wear it for more than an hour. The N95 is the really heavy one.
I'm sorry. I got them mixed up here. You're correct. Yes. But even to the surgical mask, the mask you see people wear in news conferences in China and stuff, you try to buy them on Amazon.
Those are hardware store masks. You can go to Home Depot and buy a box of them for $8 or $10.
Right.
At least yesterday.
Well, earlier today, there was one section left at a local, big box store, and I won't say it's a home store, Home Depot kind of store. So, but I won't say the name. But anyway,
well, I keep those. I keep a large supply of those around, and a lot of guys who have shops say they keep those around when they're doing different projects, so you don't breathe in things you shouldn't be breathing.
Sure.
But you're right. Those will be by the end of the week, maybe even sooner. Those will all be sold out nationwide.
Is there, John? What do you recommend? I mean, I see people saying, "Oh, we should spray our mail with like Lysol." For example, wipe.
Well, any virus can live outside a host for a limited amount of time, depending on temperature, exposure to sunlight, humidity. We don't know enough about this. At least you and I don't. How long this particular virus can live outside a host. It may be minutes, it may be hours, it may be days. There's a lot of unknowns here. But as far as what people can do, they need to be looking at self-quarantine at some point. Not right now. That would be pretty foolish at the moment. But if it starts spreading and becoming an issue, then a self-quarantine, especially people who already have a compromised immune system, they're the ones who really need to be self-quarantined. Healthy men and women, much less so. Younger children, obviously. Infants, obviously. Older people over age 80, yes. And people with a compromised immune system of any age. They're the ones who have to self-quarantine sooner and longer. But I don't think it's an issue for most of our listeners at the moment.
Okay. All right. Good. And, John, I struggle every day. News triage. You look at the headlines and you look at everything going on, and obviously this is outside of Kobe Bryant, the helicopter crash there. This is like being talked about relentlessly. Is the folk, are we putting too much focus on this? Or let me ask the question differently and toss it back to you. What are you looking at, John? What's John Moore looking at? TheLibertyMan.com. What are you looking at in terms of news triage?
Well, it's hard to get away from the coronavirus for the following reason. That would be the Deagle Report.
Right.
The Deagle Report is a reliable outfit putting this out. Corporations pay big bucks for their analysis. They most likely have excellent contacts in various government agencies to do what they do. The Deagle Report shows our population in the United States being reduced by, 80% in less than 10 years?
Yes.
At some point, that scenario is going to start to play out. I can't say this is that point, but at some point that will begin to play out. And going back to our earlier conversation with Ted, a biological weapon is ideal to accomplish a mass kill-off. It does not damage infrastructure. It costs very little once it gets going. You just let it go. It takes on a life of its own. And it is an ideal way for population control.
Frightening. To think the globalists or the whatever you want to call them, And I know that you've got, the phrase for them, the communist, socialist, Muslim.
Communist, socialist, Democrats, Muslims, right?
One of these days I'll get that right. But the people in power, you've got to be pretty depraved to just to talk about depopulation as if, you know, you're talking about what you're going to have for supper. It's just amazing.
It's amazing to be around these people, and I have been, to hear a man who's educated and prosperous and productive, American male, middle-aged, late middle-aged, to talk about American soldiers dying with no remorse whatsoever. It's shocking, it's disappointing, and it's sad. But there's a segment of our society who is like that, Doug. And it's very disappointing, it's very sad, but that's reality. There are people like that, and many of them are in very high positions. Bill Gates comes to mind as a person like that. Population reduction is a big part of his persona and what he and his wife would like to do.
Hmm. Do you think, if not this, or if not in a larger sense, a bioweapon, then my question would be what? You know, again, in the context of, for example, the Deagle Report, in the context of everything we've been hearing, you know, in terms of the agenda of depopulation, and when? The timing of this is concerning to me. We deal in evidence. I get that. But when you look at what's going on, you know, with attempting to unseat Trump, that's the way I look at it, unseating him, and it really contaminating the 2020 elections. I don't know. I mean, has that thought crossed your mind? I mean, the timing of this?
Not a whole lot.
Okay.
What I have considered, however, is combining different scenarios at the same time. So the coronavirus, if it is intentional, if it is a biological weapon, it will not necessarily be a standalone matter. It would be an ideal time, and they call it asymmetric warfare now, an ideal time for computer attacks on our infrastructure.
Ooh.
To have the gangs be activated from and the sleeper cells from Iran to be activated. That's asymmetric warfare, which is attacking from many different sides at the same time. So this could be the beginning of it. It may not be. I hope and pray that it's not. But we need to be aware of that being a possibility.
Okay. I agree. Could you ever see a point, and this calls for speculation, obviously, but can you ever see a point where you would have like a cities on lockdown? Well, let's say like Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Miami, something like that. And if so, would there be compliance or would, I'm trying to work this out in my head, John, and I'm not having a good, it's this gaming scenario is just not working well. I don't know.
I wrote about this in my paper, No Need for Panic. If you tell people there's a terrorist threat and you want to have a lockdown, they will escape. If you tell people there's an economic emergency and it needs to be locked down, they will escape. However, with a biological threat, if you tell people they're safer if they stay at home, they're not going to try to escape because they will believe that staying at home and a self-quarantine situation is the safest thing to do for them and their family. So they won't attempt to escape, the majority of people. And we could easily go towards that. Now, you mentioned Los Angeles. What is that, 15 million people these days, 20 million, metro Los Angeles?
I don't know. A bunch, yeah.
Tens of, you know, it's well more than 10 million. Metro Chicago is 12 million. Doing a lockdown on an area that large would be difficult. It would be a logistical nightmare. They could attempt it, but I don't believe it would be very successful. But if people are convinced that it's in their best interest to stay put, then they will.
Okay. I can see that. Working this out, at least that way in my head. Yeah. Because if somebody told me, you know, there's a chance if you go down to the local grocery store, you can become infected and get sick and, you know, die, spread it to your family. Yeah, I can see where self-quarantine and comply with, you know, well, I wouldn't have to comply with anything. Besides, okay. So I can see that. Now, should we take that at face value, or is there something else, to that self-quarantining? In other words, what else could be happening that,
we don't know how bad it's going to get or how fast. We simply don't know.
You're right. Yeah, we don't.
Ted's assessment of 14 days. Well, there's a 14-day incubation period, and we will know a lot more in 14 days than we do right now. Obviously, we will.
Right.
This will take over. It already has. It's taking over the news cycle, and it will continue to dominate the news cycle along with the impeachment matter for the next 2 weeks at least.
All right.
With these unknowns, it's hard to say, Doug.
That's true. We are kind of talking about things that we don't really know. And you're right. There are a lot of unknowns. We're seeing now, just real quick, folks. I'm just going to hit this one more time. Coronavirus hits 15% fatality rate. This, according to Lancet, the publication, it was published, I think, on Saturday. I'm pretty sure, Friday or Saturday. And, 50% fatality rate, 83% infection rate for those exposed. That's problematic, of course. In the minutes leading up to the top of the hour break, John, I know you've got a Saturday, Saturday, February 8th, 2020, Orlando conference. Is that filled? Do we still have room there or no?
We still had tickets last time I checked. I'll be Ted Brewer's house guest at that time. But as far as I know, there's still tickets available. We should remind people also, there's strong evidence that the 1918 flu, which killed millions of people worldwide, there's strong evidence that it was spread by vaccinated American soldiers worldwide.
Ooh. Okay, I didn't realize, and you're going to have to educate me on this, I did not realize that.
Well, international travel was rare and expensive in 1917, 1918.
Right.
Not many people did it. But we had a war. And we transported American troops all over the planet. And like I say, there's evidence that vaccinated American soldiers are the ones that spread the flu worldwide.
So it just from an evidentiary standpoint, then, you're telling me that a vaccinated individual at that time became a carrier because of the vaccine.
Precisely.
So.
Precisely. And I've traveled to, you know, my capacity as investigator, many county courthouses in around the Midwest. Many of them have memorials, World War I memorials, and they'll have two lists of men that died during World War I. One list, the ones that died in this country, and the others, the ones that died in combat. Typically, the ones that died in this country were 2 to 3 times the size of the ones that died in war because they died from the Spanish flu.
Wow. I did know that the numbers were much higher, but again, I'm kind of reeling from the vaccine angle. Sharon Gilbert, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, I think over the weekend, in fact, I might even have that clip where they were talking about, she was talking about the, influx of, Chinese immigrants here and as laborers.
Look to Vancouver. You want to talk about Chinese immigrants?
Sure.
Vancouver, Canada, right across of just a few miles from Seattle, a couple-hour drive. Because Canada is part of the British Commonwealth, many, many tens of thousands of Chinese immigrated to Canada from Hong Kong. So there's a very strong, very heavy Chinese presence in Vancouver, which is right across the border from Seattle.
Well, I do know that the at least one of the cases here, Canada aside, but one of the cases here in the United States, it was from somebody who traveled to Wuhan for the Chinese New Year celebration or was there for that and had come back. So, well pointed out that that population segment is up in Canada. Okay. By the way, I just got a flash alert here. 110 suspected coronavirus cases identified in U.S. public health risk. However, according to the CDC, remains, in quotes, low. So, whatever that means, just a little notation for you.
Well, what makes a virus like this dangerous is the incubation period. The longer the incubation period, the more dangerous it is. For 14 days, you can feel healthy and normal and strong and vigorous. And then the 14th day, the symptoms kick in. So what makes it so dangerous is that you would be going about your daily activities in contact with people, traveling, possibly internationally travel, and spreading the disease all during those 14-day incubation period. That's what makes this so incredibly dangerous, Doug.
Mm. As well as a combination, just say this, and I don't know how many people are aware of this, and John, this was posted earlier today, I think it was, or maybe even yesterday, on Zero Hedge. Two nasty traits of this coronavirus, typically not seen together, include, let me just see here. I lost the art. It's on Zero Hedge, folks. In the title, very simply, is two nasty traits of this coronavirus typically not seen together. The author compiled compiled a list of 13, individual tweets from doctors and physicians, scientists and such, saying the first one, having years of experience developing an Ebola treatment, I was concerned about the coronavirus outbreak from the outset because this coronavirus strain is very contagious, causes severe illness, and no treatments or vaccines at the moment, that's my words, are available. And unlike the bird flu, and then I'm going to shut up, John, unlike the bird flu, which does not spread easily between people, or SARS, which is spread only by a handful of super spreaders, in quotes, this does appear to spread easily between people, even after making the jump from allegedly an animal, which is extremely uncommon. Those are two top tweets, both actually from Dr. Dina Grayson. John, we're up against the top of the hour break. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report, my guest every Monday, and adds quality to the program, let me tell you. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Bookmark that website. And folks, tell John how much you appreciate him giving his time to spend with all of us. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
Thank you.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report. It's Monday. It is January 27th. What a difference a week makes, right? Last week, John was on the program. Things weren't necessarily normal, but we didn't have 60,000 people in containment in China, in quarantine in China. Now we do. What a difference a week makes, doesn't it? And of course, John Haller yesterday was talking about, during his sermon at Fellowship Bible Chapel, distress of nations with perplexity. Is that what we're seeing right now? In the first hour, folks, in case you didn't hear it, John and I spoke with Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com, and we're talking about the coronavirus. That was the first segment, first hour of the program. John, of course, brilliant in terms of his assessment. Those are my, that's my description, I believe, as well as Ted coming in and talking about, this, in the larger sense, with broad strokes. Now having said that, look, folks, I'm going to be accused no matter what of pumping products, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no better time than right now. If you don't have, or if you are in need of, or if you need more health supplements, or if you want to get that edge of protection, it's not going to protect you you're not going to become a bubble boy, okay, from this, but it's going to give your immune system, if you go one of those, a boost, immune system, a boost. And go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com and look up the Hagman Immune Survival Kit. There it is right there on your screen. It's on sale right now for 10% off while supplies last. These are going out the door like those masks, you know, so order right now. That's Hagman Immune Survival Kit. It's on sale for 10% off. I recommend it. And I'm serious. I do take everything on there. It took me a while. I'm still not used to black seed oil. But, you know, oh well. You do what you got to do, right? So there it is right there, Hagman Immune Survival Kit. And last, before we get back to John, folks, HagmanStore.com. It is open for business. You know that. Gourmet coffee, Hagman, Detective's Choice. John Moore, I got to ask it. Do you like it?
Here's my Detective's Choice right here. I'm taking a drink as
okay.
we speak.
All right. You're not gagging.
It's wonderful coffee.
Well, you know what? We use a blend of beans here that extract a higher level of caffeine, and it's hypercaffeinated, and it's something I drink. It's a dark roast. So, folks, HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. You get in three different kinds. You get whole bean, you get ground, and you get K-cups. And there's two other kinds, Patriot Blend and Revolution Blend. Be a patriot. Let's be part of the revolution, too. All right. Now, during the break, John and I were talking, too, about what else is going on. Well, guess what? You've got the third ever impeachment of a president. The impeachment trial has continued today, continues. John, what are we seeing, for crying out loud? What in the hell is going on with this? And I'm sorry, but I'm angry about this.
Well, you should be. The defense began Saturday with a short presentation. I believe it was 2 hours. They're continuing today as we speak. And Senator Lindsey Graham, did a great job characterizing the defense, destroying the prosecution. And they did. One thing that's very important to point out, the prosecution is attempting to make it look like Donald Trump stopping or holding back aid to a country because of suspected corruption is something unusual, unique, and out of the ordinary. And they made people believe it. The defense pointed out, no, it's routine. It's normal. It happens all the time to withhold aid, military or otherwise, from countries where there's suspected corruption. It's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. It's not out of the ordinary. And it's one of the jobs of the president to do precisely that, withhold aid, military or otherwise, to deal with corruption first before the aid is released. So in my opinion, that was a major part of the defense, to point out that what the prosecutor is saying was an abnormal act to help his election campaign was simply a normal act done in the normal course of business. Very, very important, Doug.
You know, I think all of us, and you being an investigator and folks, you know John's history, myself as well, that would be one of the top priorities of mine. I'm not going to give aid, money. I mean, even on a personal level, if somebody came to me and said, look, hey, the aid package or, you know, the money that I'm borrowing from you constantly, can you float me some, and it's being used for some corrupt purpose, obviously that would be very concerning to me. And that's kind of the way I see what happened with Donald Trump. Yet, it just makes sense. It's due diligence, isn't it, John? I mean,
it's called due diligence. He's doing his job. That's his job as the executive, the CEO of our country. You know, you call him president, you call him CEO. He's in charge. And one of his responsibilities is to deal with corruption. And that's what the man did. That's what he should do. That's what he did do. Nothing wrong. Nothing. Certainly not a crime. Certainly not an impeachable offense. Carrying out his normal duties as he's done with many other countries, which the defense so expertly pointed out. They gave precise examples of the president withholding aid from other countries because corruption needed to be dealt with. And I don't know what they're doing today, but I have a strong belief that they'll make even stronger points and give more evidence that what the prosecuting individuals are doing is wrong, is not proper, it is unethical, and the whole thing about witnesses, that it's the job of the way these things work, these impeachments. The prosecution was supposed to call their witnesses in the House of Representatives when they had their hearings. That was the place to do it. They had the power of subpoena if they chose to exercise it. If they chose not to, that was their choice. And their main arguments were supposed to be generated and evidence generated in the House of Representatives, not on the floor of the Senate. They want the Senate to do what their responsibility was that they did not carry out, to subpoena and interview witnesses. The excuse they give is it would delay the process is not acceptable because previous other, in the Clinton impeachment and the Nixon impeachment, we're looking at years, not 72 days. As someone mentioned, I think it was once again Lindsey Graham, you can barely take care of a speeding ticket in 72 days.
That's true, yes.
You know, our legal system moves forward in 30-day blocks of time. Anybody like myself and you, Doug, we know that. That's been our lives.
That's right.
To be in a hurry, something that's important, to delay or not do something because it would take longer is simply not acceptable. Looking into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden will continue with or without the impeachment. That will be done. There's too much evidence. We have former vice president on video basically rejoicing at getting the Ukrainian prosecutor fired. I mean, that's pretty strong evidence, Doug. It's very strong evidence.
But you know, you show that to the average person, and it's almost, I often say our country's so divided ideologically. You know, it's crazy. But that to me, I mean, if you walked into, and you've been to court many, many, many times as I have, you take that in as Exhibit A in a trial or a hearing or whatever, it should be a slam dunk, but people look at that like, well, that's nothing. Well, they were ridding that corrupt prosecutor. In this case, it's something totally different. Well, what? But yeah, I don't know. Why isn't that resonating with people, that clip from Biden?
It's resonating with the people that matter. There's 100 senators that are aware of this. All the Republicans are aware of it. Many Democratic senators, all the Democratic senators are aware of it. Whether they choose to believe it or act on it, it remains to be seen. That evidence alone in front of these senators is overwhelming. The president will not be found guilty of these alleged non-existent crimes. He will be exonerated. what this is doing, and the Democrats haven't figured this out. This impeachment is motivating Donald Trump's base. He will get more votes and more money as a direct consequence of this impeachment than he would otherwise. So it's going to work out to his favor. It absolutely will.
You know, John, I pray, and I first of all, I believe that. I believe that assessment, and I pray that that's accurate. But one thing I wanted to bring up about this legal maneuvering here, I have seen this in my personal case where I am being personally, I'm a defendant in a federal case. Okay, so now the reason I say that is not to for no other reason except to say I've seen it personally. Okay, so here is the president. He gets inaugurated in 2017. You know, he gets sworn in. And minutes after his swearing in ceremony, what do? They talk about impeaching the president. They talk about taking him, you know, it's illegitimate, whatever. And how Russia was involved in electing President Trump. Okay. So that was the charge then. And then it took on several iterations to where now all of a sudden we're talking about a phone call with Ukraine, and now this is the basis for two articles of impeachment. So I guess, John, what I'm going to ask you is, doesn't the evolution of charges as an investigator cause you concern?
Well, in this case, Adam Schiff needs to be looked into. He said in front of video a number of times that he privately had evidence of the collusion between President Trump and the Russians, that it was secret. Well, here we are in 2020, and it's still secret. And it will always be secret because it doesn't exist. Now, this is the lead man for the prosecutor's team. He is unethical. He is doing things that have no basis in reality, that have no basis in evidence. And the defense team is pointing it out hour by hour, right now, in the United States Senate, Doug.
Okay. Where, by the way, you can only have water or milk during the proceedings, or hard candy if you're offered that by the hard candy desk, so to speak. Okay, so, yeah, it's day six of the Senate impeachment trial, where the defense is continuing with their presentation. Will there be witnesses called, do you think?
I'd say the odds are stacked against it. It really is a toss-up. I don't know what the procedure is, if they have to have a vote of a simple majority or a two-thirds majority to have witnesses, or if they have to have a vote at all. It's so outside the norm what you and I normally do in a courtroom.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like with me, okay, I watched one claim turn and evolve and become unrecognizable from its starting point. The very same thing that this impeachment trial represents, or these impeachment charges represent. So this is outside of the norm. I don't have a clue. I thought I knew about the history. Precedent in terms of impeachment, but I guess they just don't. I guess the rules don't apply at this point. I guess they just don't. So, the other thing too related to this, I don't know whether you saw this, John. John Bolton, New York Times. Where is it here? New York Times. His menu, or let me see here. I want to be very accurate when I say this. John Bolton's manuscript was released.
Over the weekend, Friday or Saturday.
Right.
It's a big nothing burger.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
the president denies he made the statement. Bolton says he made a statement telling him withhold the military aid until the corruption thing's taken care of. Whether the president did or did not is a big nothing, because if he did, he was supposed to. If he didn't, it's a big so what also.
Right.
The prosecution is grasping at straws. They're trying to create an issue. They're trying to create evidence where there is no evidence. And I was always kind of baffled why John Bolton ended up in the White House to begin with under this president. It made no sense to me. He's an extreme war hawk. He never met a war he didn't like. Why he was there in the first place, that was a different issue. But if the president told him to withhold the aid, it's a big nothing. If he didn't, it's a big nothing also. It's not evidence of a crime if he did. It's not evidence of a crime if he didn't. So get over it, guys. You know, it's nothing.
You know, exactly. My concern, well, not concern, where my radar spidey senses kind of perked up is the timing of this. You've got the National Security Council leaking. It's not the information. It's the fact that the NSC leaked this information. That's number one. And remember last week, and I'm not sure how many people know this, a guy by the name of Andrew Peak. Oh my goodness. Member of the National Security Council, actually Senior Director for European and Russian Affairs, Andrew Peak. He was escorted from the White House, and he's currently under a security investigation. The guy looks kind of twerpy, but there was little information about why he was escorted out of the White House. I mean, this guy was physically escorted off the White House grounds. So,
well, obviously he was fired, but
yeah.
If the National Security Council is leaking stuff harmful to the president, that's very serious. And we have so many thousands of people appointed by Obama and his underlings, who appointed more people, that are still around. It's a massive outfit, the executive branch of the United States government. And I have no doubt the president's done what he can to clean out the Obama holdovers, but it would have shut down the government, get all rid of them all at once.
You know, I think you're right in pointing out earlier that I think most people can see through this charade of things that are taking place, and the leaks coming out. It blows my mind. But John, I'm going to get email about this. Do you have faith in people like Bill Barr's Attorney General, Durham, Huber? You know, do you have faith in those people that we're going to see some justice being done?
Well, I have more faith in Durham than I do Bill Barr. Bill Barr, you know, he has a track record of doing things back in during the Bush administration that most of us conservatives would not agree with. There's a lot of speculation about why more has not been done with Durham, the prosecutor point to look into what's been going on. Well, these matters do take time. They can't be rushed. To do it right, it takes time. And I'm not ready to say that Bill Barr is not looking out for our best interests, is not a patriot. I'm hoping that he is. And when a man reaches this point in his career, he's been attorney general before, he's attorney general again. Hopefully he'll be looking more at his legacy than other things, and wanting a legacy that will stand up to scrutiny as to his actions as regards his oath of office to support and defend the Constitution.
Amen.
I hope that's how he feels.
I hope so too.
I don't know the man. I don't know what his agenda is. We shall see. I've seen, you know, you and I are both big Second Amendment guys, Doug, and I've seen the Attorney General supporting some very dangerous measures regarding firearms and firearms laws that I don't agree with. But that's in keeping with his persona, that he's done these things in the past. So it's no surprise. And, in fact, President Trump has supported some things that the NRA and most Second Amendment people would not agree with. But he's backed off once he smelled the coffee and realized that the electorate was not going to support those matters.
Exactly. Okay. I want to stick in an email here I got. I printed this out. Let me make sure. Okay, here it is right here. All right. This is directed to you, John. And now, we didn't talk about this before the show. We didn't talk about this during the break. So I'm going to ask you this question. We're going into this cold. This is from Jeff from Sandusky, Ohio. I got this on Sunday. He said, "Tomorrow, when John Moore is on, I want you to ask him about the supposedly 100+ thousand sealed indictments against the globalists, the people in power that people have been talking about for the last 2 years. Thanks. Tell John I said hello. There you go. John, hello. And so, okay.
Okay, well, that was initiated by this outfit called QAnon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantasy. 100,000 sealed indictments would literally shut down the Department of Justice if they existed. And they don't. And Doug, you and I have both been in the system of many, many decades. And 100,000 sealed indictments, if you're not part of the system and don't know how the system works, it sounds wonderful. It would literally shut down the Department of Justice if they pursued that number of sealed indictments. There's not enough people in the Department of Justice to do that. It's a fantasy.
That's right.
Now, I could believe maybe 200-300 sealed indictments, but not 100,000. It's just...
And you know, sealed indictments means just that, sealed. You're not going to be able to tell, John. They could be unrelated to any, I mean, obviously you know how indictments work, so, or sealed documents or dockets that are under seal don't necessarily reflect criminal charges. I mean, they could be reflective of numerous things. It doesn't have to be a criminal charge against, you know, against anyone, necessarily. So anyway, yeah.
Indictment by definition is a criminal charge.
Well, right. But when you look at the federal docket, it doesn't, I mean, if the document in the docket is sealed, we don't know if it's an indictment, right? Clear?
Well, the information is 100,000 sealed indictments. That's what we have.
Correct. But I haven't found the 100,000 sealed indictments.
That's because they don't exist.
Right. Okay.
But why are you not going to find them?
But I guess, yeah, right. But even, let's just say there were 100,000 entries that said sealed. They may not be criminal indictments, right?
Well, then they wouldn't be indictments.
That's why I love you, man. You're right. They wouldn't be indictments. But yeah, they said indictments. And you know, since you brought up that cue, my position on that is,
QAnon is disinformation. It's foolish to believe otherwise.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you though, anything to me, if somebody, I want people to think for themselves. I really do. I want people to ask questions. And if that's the reason behind it, great. I don't trust the plan. I don't think there's a plan to trust. That's just me. So, anyway. Do you trust the plan?
Which plan is that?
Q's plan. Trust the plan.
Oh, no.
No, I don't either. I don't think there is one to trust. Otherwise, we'd see it. You know, we're, 1,100 and some odd days into President Trump's first term, and I haven't seen any perp walks, and lock her up has just been a chant. So,
Doug, you know, you and I protect our sources. We have to maintain anonymity for sources to protect our sources. But QAnon is anonymous. Mm-hmm. You don't know. These people are. They don't. We don't know their agenda. They're not. To me, they're not trustworthy, and I would not rely on anything they say.
Exactly. I totally agree with you on that, folks. You're listening to John Moore. In case you haven't, in case you never tuned into this program before, shame on you. But if that's the case, with me is Riding Shotgun. Is John Moore. TheLibertyMan.com, the web presence for John Moore at The Liberty Man. There it is right there on your screen, TheLibertyMan.com. And I've got to tell you, he's got a radio show every single day. And if you haven't heard his show, oh, please do so. There's a handful of programs I listen to. John Moore is, in fact, one of those programs, along with Ted and Austin. And yes, mine too. But there it is right there. And John's going to be speaking with, at an event in February. Go to thelibertyman.com and check out the events that are planned. Now, of course, you know, given the fact that things are happening and we could be under quarantine, maybe not. No, yeah.
You're going to scare these people, Doug.
I know. Hey, we're going to be under quarantine, but register for that, you know, register. No. Look, we can't be scared into subject. I mean, we shouldn't be afraid at all. We should be aware and prepared, not afraid. So that's my view anyway. But, yeah, there it is right there, folks. Look at this Saturday, February 8th in Orlando. And I might bring my sleeping bag and my pajamas with the feet in them and come down and join you and Ted Brower, Eric the Tech, and I might. And just, you know, sleep on the floor in the guest room. What do you think?
There's a number of guest rooms. I'm sure you'd be welcome. You should call Ted and talk to him.
I'm going to. But that's going to be a fabulous conference there. Israeli News Live. By the way, is Tamara Yonah still there?
Say again?
Tamara Yonah, is she still part of Israel National News?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Nothing like just asking stuff on air, you know, just for the heck of it. Hey, Tamar, if you're listening, it's been a long time. Give me a call. Anyway, all right. What else should we get into, John? I mean, there's really nothing else to talk about, so let's exchange recipes. No, seriously, what else should we get into?
Well, I want to show you something here one of my listeners gave me. This is from a New York fire department. Fireman. Division three. He had took his father to a medical appointment the morning of September 11th, 2001. He's the only man from Division three alive. The only one alive because he took his father to a medical appointment that morning. And he gave me that mug at an event I was speaking at. He gave me two of them actually. And, I imagine he's probably got a heavy dose of survivor's guilt, which is typical for somebody who survives something like that. But that issue has not gone away. There's a number of things I'd like to see the president address in his second term. One of them being what really happened on September 11th, 2001. What happened when a truck full of fertilizer blew up in front of the federal building in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
What happened when the FBI attacked a church full of men, women, and children and burned it to the ground for no reason at all? Things that this man cannot do on his first term because he has to face re-election. But his second term, it's wide open because he will never run for elected office ever again. Lots of excellent possibilities here, and I don't know the man. I never met President Trump. I've met people who have met him. I have not and probably never will. But there's lots of possibilities. One of the ones at the top of the list would be young Robert Kennedy going after the vaccine industry. That got off to a start at about the first 2 weeks of the Trump administration, and it came to an abrupt end. However, with the second term, I would like to see young Mr. Kennedy come back and really expose the vaccine industry for the evil that they do. That would be wonderful, Doug, don't you think?
I would love that. Promises made, promises kept. I'd love to be able to say that. And, you know, over the years, Donald Trump, being the New Yorker that he is, he had, at least in my view, a very special, unique, I don't know what the word would be, but some insight into 9/11, what happened that morning and subsequent to that time and, you know, shutting down the air traffic and only letting the Saudis fly. And, I'd like to see the answers to that. And you're right about the Murrah building. There's some big unanswered questions there. Big.
The evidence still exists.
Yep.
Debris from the Murrah Federal Building is in a landfill under 24/7 guard and will always be under 24/7 guard. Because the evidence of what really happened is buried there and will always be buried there. The evidence, of course, being the real explosives that brought down that building as opposed to the fertilizer truck-filled truck that could do nothing but blow out windows. That's all it could do. There's a lot of serious matters that this president, if he chose to, could get into. I don't know what the man's desires are. We do know about the vaccines. That's a real and clear and present danger. These other matters are history, and nothing can change what's happened before with that. But with the vaccines, we can save a lot of lives in the future.
Yeah, hang on before we talk about vaccines. I want to talk to you like we're on the phone. Folks, talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I'm going to talk to John here about the MIR building. I don't know if I told you about this, John. Again, pretend folks, just hang on. We'll get back to the program in a second. It was 05, 06, somewhere around there. Jana Davis she wrote a book called The Third Terrorist. Do you know her by chance?
I know of her.
Okay. We talked like almost every day back when she was compiling that book. Now, whether you agree with the premise of the book or it doesn't matter. I don't care. But one thing, John, I want to tell you this. Through David Shippers, who I met in Chicago at his office building.
I know David.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you with David.
All right. So you know David. So you know he's obviously he was the counsel for the impeachment of the president,
right.
President Clinton. Okay. In fact, I got a picture hanging in my office of David. Okay. So I met David Shippers and Jana Davis just on the phone there. And I was given information about who that third terrorist in quotation marks was. So I traced him all the way to Boston from Oklahoma City. And she gave me, I'm not talking out of school. She gave me the name. It's in her book. She gave me the name. I traveled to Boston and I did an investigation. I found him. I conducted surveillance on him. And actually, I looked in his eyes. I was under a pretext, and I've got a picture of this. My son actually took some videotape, and of which I took a still capture. And I looked into his eyes. John, I got to tell you something. If anyone ever scared the living, you know what's bejeebies out of me, this guy did. You talk about the personification of evil, and I'm not making that up. I mean, when I looked at him, it was like, it's the most incredibly yucky feeling ever. How's that for a good legal term? Yuck. But
right.
Something's going on there. Something was, I don't know what the hell went on, but there's something going on that was buried with the rubble, in my view. So anyway, I just thought I'd tell you that.
I appreciate that, Doug. Well,
for what it's worth. Oh, and by the way, the day after I left, actually, when I was still there, but that night he checked himself into a psychiatric hospital. I couldn't get at him. I couldn't get at him again. So anyway.
Well, the FBI can't get at you when you're in a psych ward.
Yeah. That was kind of a bummer. But, anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. We can trade war stories. Now, I interrupted you talking about vaccines. I apologize. So continue.
No problem. Well, the best book I'm aware of is written by Ed Griffin, World Without Cancer. He gets into the entire pharmaceutical industry, not just cancer, and vaccines play a big role in all of that. Ty Bollinger's done a lot of excellent work on cancer also, which vaccines and cancer are, of course, related. But the pharmaceutical industry is international. They have no respect or honor of countries or international boundaries. Going back to, and what Ed Griffin's book does so well is document the what went on before World War II with the pharmaceutical industry during World War II and after World War II with these pharmaceutical companies maintaining their power and their corruption all during and after the war. If you don't understand this, you need to, because it's affecting our lives every day. People are being harmed every day by vaccines. The documentary Vaxxed with two X's, V-A-X-X-E-D, is an excellent documentary. There's been a follow-up, Vaxxed 2. That's not the official name of it, but it's recently released in the last month or two. People, educated American adults, believe vaccines are good, they're healthy, and they're real. Well, they're not good, they're not healthy, and they won't do what they promise to do. They make you sick, and they cause harm. You can't get out of high school science with a a C-minus, Doug, and not know that mercury does not belong inside human beings. I don't believe you can do that.
No, I don't think so either.
No, but there. But if you accept vaccines, you'll be accepting mercury into your body, among other things, including aluminum. Heavy metals don't belong inside human beings. It's a discredited, and if you do your research, it's a discredited way of making a lot of money, going back to the 1700s when the cowpox vaccine was initiated. The doctor who developed it ended up murdering his own son. He gave the cowpox vaccine to him so many times, the boy finally died. But the whole paradigm is flawed. I work with a number of healthcare professionals, medical doctors, chiropractors, nurses, who would never consider getting themselves or their blood relatives giving them a vaccine. Never, ever. And these are people that graduated from medical school. They know better. So I'd love to see young Mr. Kennedy put back in that office of exposing the vaccine industry and the pharmaceutical industry in general, which is harmful and evil.
Do you think, well, vaccines have already, in my view, become weaponized, or at least when I say weaponized in the broadest use of that term, maybe that's the consequence as opposed to the maybe initial intent, but that's the consequence, to be charitable. So will there ever be a time when we as Americans will be forced into a vaccination program or be put in jail or, you know, put on some island somewhere or something? I mean, I'm trying to think ahead.
Here's what they can do, Doug, under current law. They're dealing with real ID, for example. A person can live a somewhat normal life without real ID. Here in Missouri, we got a choice of a driver's license that does or does not have the real ID features. So right at the moment in 2020, or soon to be later this year, they can prohibit you from going to a federal courthouse. They can prohibit you from going through a TSA checkpoint. Any place they got federal authority and control, they can exercise that with the real ID. The same thing could apply to vaccinations. They can prohibit you from flying on a commercial airline. They can prohibit you from going to a federal courthouse. Or they already have that control with the military, so it's not an issue.
Right.
So that's what they can do under current circumstances, unless that changes.
You know, help me out with the argument that I see often. Those people without, if you're not vaccinated, you know, look, I've got my vaccination. You're not vaccinated. You're a problem. Well, if you're vaccinated, you know, that person saying that, what do you care? I mean, should you?
If it works and if it's effective, it doesn't put anybody at risk that has a vaccine and has ever been vaccinated. Obviously, it doesn't work and does put people at risk because the vaccines don't work.
Right. And yeah. Plus, as you mentioned, the heavy metals. And I had asked my personal care physician. This was now, it was late last year, August-ish, about vaccines. And he said to me, don't worry about it. They've cleaned up the vaccines. It depends on which vaccine you're talking about, but in general, they pretty much cleaned them up. They've removed the harmful adjuvants. That's not true. I mean, I didn't argue with them, but that's not true, right?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I didn't think so. Yes. Yeah.
That's propaganda to keep people getting the vaccines. You know, they don't work. And they've been apprehended or caught, I should say, in Africa, putting, drugs in the vaccines in Africa that make women sterile, for example. And
yep.
They've been caught red-handed doing that.
There's going to be a
vaccine offered for this coronavirus. That's inevitable.
I'm going to mark this down that you're saying this because, okay. I'm John Moore. Okay.
January 27th. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There will be a vaccine and people will be demanding that vaccine. They'll be doing whatever it takes to get access to that vaccine. Personally, they can keep their vaccines. I want nothing to do with it. I'll be recommending the same thing to my daughter and her family but she'll probably go ahead and accept it because she believes in the allopathic paradigm, which is obviously not good to most of us know about it. But the vaccine will be available and will be offered, and the demand may be so high that they'll have to have a lottery or have maybe the youngest people get it first, which if you want the most harm, that's what you would do. And you know, pregnant women would get it first, things like that. They'll make it a lottery situation where you have to wait in line to get the vaccine.
Man. It hurts my head to think there'd be a line, people would be lining up to get a vaccine. It'll be like a line of people ready to turn in their weapons. I don't know. It gives me a headache thinking about that, but yeah, you're right. And it's, you know, John, how do you convince a family member? Because we have people listening and I get this all the time. People saying, I can't convince my son, my daughter, you know, their families or uncle.
Well, here's one way. Bill Gates' personal physician, before he no longer was his personal physician, was at a doctor's conference, and he revealed to the doctors that Bill Gates did not get vaccinations for his own children. His peers were upset that he talked about that publicly. Well, and it's kind of it wasn't all that public. It was a closed conference with doctors only. But Bill Gates' former physician did reveal that Bill Gates does not get vaccinations for his own children. What more proof do you need?
No, you're right. Do as I say, not as I do. And by the way, I'm not doing it because I know what's in it. And, you know. What applies to you doesn't apply to me. Too bad for you. Yeah, that's the textbook of the globalist left that we've seen. It's the template for them. Agreed, man. There's one other thing I wanted to ask you too. Go ahead. If you've got anything else on your mind, ask it, because I'm looking for.
Well,
this.
Something we need to keep emphasizing. We got a national election in 10 months.
Okay.
First week of November, about 10 months away, maybe closer to 9 months at this point. We need to keep emphasizing that many conservatives are not even registered to vote, and many that are registered don't bother to vote. We need to keep emphasizing, Doug, people to be registered to vote and vote for the national election for the president and other men and women who will support the Constitution. That needs to be emphasized over and over again. We got the numbers, Doug. If we can get the conservatives motivated to go out and register and vote and actually vote, we can overcome the fraudulent votes, the illegal aliens, the manipulation of the computers, and all the rest of it with our overwhelming numbers. But they have to be overwhelming. And so I think every show, Doug, we should say that for at least 2 or 3 minutes, so it stays fresh in people's minds how important it is to both register to vote and vote in the upcoming election, which is only a few months away.
You're right. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get emails, people saying, well, you know, the voting machines are rigged. You can now vote by smartphone. I think it's up in Washington State in certain elections, I believe. So, what about the voter fraud? I know Judicial Watch, by the way, has been really good at getting like a bunch of illegal votes out of California. But can we overcome voter fraud?
We can. We got the numbers. They can only do vote fraud to a certain point, and then it becomes obvious. We can overcome that. We can overwhelm them. And Judicial Watch, you're right. They do excellent work. That's how I met David Shippers. I was in Chicago do an interview with Judicial Watch to open up and be the office manager for the new St. Louis office, and I got to spend the day with David Shippers, and it was a very important day, to say the least.
Indeed.
It was about 4 weeks before September 11, 2001, and that could be half a show by itself, just what took place that day.
I would have loved to have been sitting there listening to what you guys were talking about. Doggone it, you're going to have to tell me. And, folks, I don't know. Seriously, it's the first time I heard about this. So, but David Shippers is a marvelous man. But go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I signed not one but two NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, which at the time made sense, but I've talked publicly about this since then because 3,000 people died 4 weeks later as an indirect consequence of what we were talking about that day. So, yes, we don't have time to get into that today, but we can do that later.
Yeah, indeed. NDAs and those kind of meetings kind of go hand in hand, so I get that. But I didn't know that, boy, we've got some mutual friends in common. It just makes this much more normal, you know, normal fitting. Yeah. Okay. But, well, okay, getting back to the election, and you're right, in what, 9 months, 10 months, we're going to the polls, but we need to make sure that President
Trump... alarming. It's alarming how many conservatives are not even registered.
I know.
Not even registered.
I know.
And we got the numbers, Doug. We got the numbers. Yep. And we can overwhelm the vote fraud, the computer fraud, and all the rest of it. We can absolutely overwhelm it. And that's what needs to happen.
If we don't, I mean, if we lose on the numbers, again, voting irregularities and fraud aside, if we lose on those numbers, man, I'll tell you what, bend over and kiss your, you know, derriere goodbye, because we're in some hot water, I believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If Hillary is president right now, I don't know, you know, I might be living out in the woods in a cave someplace. I don't know. you know, that would have been kind of exciting when I was 25, but not anymore. We need to get our conservative friends, relatives, coworkers, people we go to church with, people on a bowling league, get them registered to vote. Offer them a ride if they need to ride, vote absentee ballot if that's what they need to do if they're going to be out of the country on vacation, whatever it takes, because we need overwhelming numbers to overcome the obvious vote fraud that will take place. Of course there's going to be vote fraud. That's expected. And then we need overwhelming numbers to counter that.
Well, indeed. Now, I can just see this, though, when President Trump, notice the affirmative statement there. When President Trump wins and emerges victorious and wins re-election, you're going to have cries from the left saying, oh, voter fraud. You already have Hillary Clinton saying Facebook is running interference, I'm paraphrasing now, for President Trump in the election in 2020.
Hardly. Facebook, we know their bias. The Facebook bias is not in favor of the president. That's pretty well known.
Exactly.
There is bias, but it's not in favor of the president.
No, not at all. But yet she's allowed, she gets off saying, I mean, she says it without any, question whatsoever. So it's just crazy. But you know, even if or when President Trump gets in, there's going to be hell to pay, I think, in this country. I do see the left rising up, but I think politically they're going to be destroyed, but maybe as a gang, not so much. I don't know. Thoughts?
There's this cooperation, and to use a word that's been overused the last 3 years, collusion at the leadership level.
Yep.
Of socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims, that many of the what we might call spear carriers, the rank and file, don't even know even exists, and they don't care. They don't know. They don't care. But at the highest levels, they do coordinate, they do share funding, and they share training and methods and equipment at the very highest levels. And they've always got a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. They already know plan A, winning the election, is a big zero. They're not going to win the election. Vote fraud or not, they simply aren't going to do it. So plan B is probably going to be violence. That's pretty much all they've got left. President Trump, for 5 more years, he just was, he began his 4th year this month.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 5 more years of President Trump. They're finished for a generation, and they know that. They're done for a generation. Their grandchildren may be able to recreate what they're doing today, but that's how long it's going to take because of the Supreme Court and federal court nominations and all the rest of the things that President Trump is doing, dismantle one Obama, two Bushes, and one Clinton. There's 4 administrations that need to be dismantled and he's in the process of doing so. And the left knows it, and they're in extreme distress because they know that their number is up, that their opportunity is gone, and all they're left with is going to be violence. I'm pretty sure of that, Doug.
Yeah, and I think if they want violence, John, I'm the last person to, you know, I'm too old to fight. I'm too, kind of like Danny Glover, you know, I'm getting too old for this. I'm just too old for that. Like, you know, I don't want violence, but I'll tell you something. I'd bet on us. I don't know about you, but I'd bet on us, the Patriots. I think we might not have our act together in terms of, you know, coordination of groups, but I'll tell you what, we can certainly kick butt when necessary, in my view anyway. That's just my thought. But I don't know.
Well, John,
go ahead.
The Patriots are the ones that run the country. If you talk to people involved in the various professions that make this country work, carpenters, mechanics, electricians, plumbers, aircraft mechanics, avionics, the people who make things work, you rarely find liberals. Yeah, you might find a few here and there. But we have the knowledge. We have the expertise. If you know how to put something together, you know how to take it apart. And that's our people. And we know how to do things. Typically, liberals are not found in those professions that I just mentioned. Rarely are they found in those professions.
I agree. So, yep. they're baristas at you know, Starbucks, but.
And that's simply reality.
Yeah.
I don't want to. It's not that I'm too old to fight, but there's things I can do and things I choose not to. And I choose not to fight if I can avoid it. If I have to defend my family, I'll do whatever it takes. But I'd rather see a nonviolent end to this. If the socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims, if they want to activate their gangs, activate Antifa, bring in foreign troops, all of the above, hey, I'll deal with it. I will deal with it, and I'll deal with it very effectively. But that may be all they're left with, Doug, is an asymmetric warfare on many fronts. The Iranian cells being activated, terrorist cells, cyber attacks on our power grid, the gangs, foreign troops, lots of possibilities, and one does not preclude the other.
That's true.
If I was wanting to take down this country, I would do them all at the same time. Of course I would. Make it so chaotic that it'd be like a cat in a room full of mice. The cat doesn't know which one to go after first.
That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be the smart thing to do. And these, our opposition, if anything, we have to give credit where credit's due. They're smart people. They're not dummies. We don't agree with them. We don't like them. But they're not dummies. And they know how to put together a plan that has a great chance of success, and they will do that.
Very, very well stated, and I think that's an accurate assessment, John. I'll tell you what, it's hard to believe the program is over. I've just got enough time to take care of a couple of PSAs for the rest of the week, so I got to cut you loose. I want to say thank you so very, very much for your assessments today, your gift of time, and everything you do.
Doug, you're welcome. You and I do need to talk privately. There's a couple of matters I need to talk about with you, but you know, thank you, and it's good to be here as always.
Yeah, John, I think over the next 48 hours, that we, for other reasons as well, I need to speak with you. So, will do. And folks, you can catch John at thelibertyman.com. His radio show accessible via that link. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. That was John Moore. Folks, remind me to give him a call. I'm kidding. I'll get like 55 comments on the comments section. Eric the Tech, you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sure? You're awful quiet over there.
It's my job to be quiet.
All right, folks, real quick. those people wondering about the border wall. I don't know how many people saw the Twitter or the tweet by the border chief, or USBP chief, United States Border Protection or Border Patrol chief. 110 miles completed. There's a pretty cool graphic associated with this. 110 miles completed, 192 miles under construction, 274 miles in pre-construction. Now, the reason I bring this up right at the moment is because, well, you know, with all the illegal invasion and stuff, and such, and that this is one issue that I had a problem with. Why isn't the wall being completed? Well, now it seems that, it is. Hang on. 4 miles last week. Now, you might think, well, big deal. Just 2 months ago, they were running at about 2 miles per week. Last week, I said 4-5 miles were completed. The biggest contract wars are being prepared now. $5 billion is on hand, over $7 billion more is likely to come available soon. And the fact is this. The illegal invasion, the people in this country illegally, and especially those who come up through the southern border, costs this country $600 billion every single year. Think about that. That's over a half a trillion dollars, right? If my math is correct. So how much, I mean, it's a no brainer. Weigh the costs out. It's important. And okay, that's that. Now, one thing about, and I mentioned, again, I keep mentioning John Heller, from the Fellowship Bible Chapel. Every week he gives just a topical prophetic sermon. And let me just make sure I've got this right. Oh, he was talking about Prince Charles. Okay. And there was an interview done with Prince Charles of late. Something he said in the interview caused John Heller to say, pay attention to this guy. Keep your eye on this guy. And I like John, how he makes his delivery. And he's an attorney by profession, in addition to being, you know, the head of the church there. And yeah, he says, keep your eye on this guy. But I'm not sure how many people saw this, but Prince Charles was asked a series of questions, and one of them was, do you pray? And Prince Charles says, I pray quite often, inshallah. I looked at that and I'm thinking, what? Did I hear that right? So I had to rewind that, you know, and then I saw the quote, and he was, I don't know if it was New York or U.S. publication or whatever, but he was quoted, and yes, indeed, that word was right there. Sure, I pray all the time, inshallah. No, he wasn't talking to a Muslim or an Islamic or even an Arabic publication. So keep your eye on this as well. We talked about a lot of heavy things this show, not the least of which obviously is the coronavirus. And by the way, please, please do yourself a favor. Go to healthmasters.com and get the Hagman Immune System. Do that. Even as a prophylactic measure, to strengthen yourself. Hagman Immune Survival Kit. Look, if when you hear this, maybe it's the day after that I did this or 2 days, if they don't have those kits in stock, at least get the C or whatever they do have, any part of that kit. The C, the potassium iodide, as well as the D3K2. Those are the key ingredients, okay? The rest, they're all key, but those are the three. Like if you had to pick just like three, those you need. That's the Hagman Immune Survival Kit at healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. Do that and do yourself a favor. Stock up on maybe some canned goods. If think about this, if you've got a shelter in place for, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you don't know what's going to happen. You really don't. So even if you don't want to go the long-term storable food route, just go to the grocery store, folks, and pick up extra can of whatever you're going to eat, extra several cans or whatever. but do that. Because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Just last week. You know? And in the course of 1 week, you had 60 million quarantined. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Thank you so much for joining me. May God bless. May God bless all of you. Good night.